Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
Okay! FMLFPL on!
Is Walsh.
Actually, only halfway through game week 34, but the pod's got a pod, so here we are.
Yeah, got a pod here on a Monday before the Stoke, the big matchup of the week, Stoke West Ham kicks off.
For me, it's big with Arnie in the basket, but yeah.
So how'd you do?
How are you doing so far? Yeah,
my
rank has stayed the same, which for me is fine. I'm not on that many doublers. I am using my bench boost. Me and 35% of the top 10K are on our bench boost this week. I brought in Gale for Ings, which was a mistake kind of in hindsight because I should have gone like Perez or maybe even Jordan Ayew. But, you know, 2 points are 2 points this week. That's not like that bad of a thing. Karius on my bench, getting that 6-pointer is huge. Vanderhorn, Son, Lingard all not starting is very bad. And also me having no Liverpool attackers or City attackers is very bad. But all that said, I'm surviving mostly with the Wilf Hall. Even the Aubameyang assist feels massive this week so far with Rom blanking and Kane blanking and Sanchez blanking. Like, just getting a 5-pointer is good.
Yeah, I think the second game for Spurs and United are going to be the big telltale signs of how everyone finishes up. I mean, you're on Captain Kane and I have Captain Alexis. So if we get a return, God bless. If it's double return, I mean, hitting captain in that sense would be a big gainer.
That would transform the game week for sure. Yeah, but at the same time, it's like a little touch and go because who the fuck knows what rotation's going to be like?
Yeah.
FA Cup right around the corner for both teams. I mean, Spurs, I guess, are still kind of fighting for top four, so you'd expect like a strong lineup, but who knows with United? Like, it could be anyone. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yep, I agree. I mean, I guess Lingard being benched in the first game makes you feel more confident that he'll start at Bournemouth, but Son for sure will start, I think. That's not really too much of a worry, but I don't know about Alexis. He usually is kind of like a machine, but he's been subbing him and stuff, so I hope he starts. I don't know. United were so ridiculously bad against West Brom,
so bad.
Mourinho's not even under pressure to have a reaction to that. He just obviously doesn't care about anything or anyone, so he could just start a B team for sure. We'll have to find out.
But it feels good thus far to have dodged the Pogba bullet, who is just atrocious again. 0-pointer, subbed off before 60, like so fucking bad. Like, tried to warn people, but who knows, I might eat my words at Bournemouth, but I don't know, feels good so far.
Yeah, I mean, Paul is somehow even worse than Matic, which is not normally an easy thing to do.
Although Matic assisted the J-Rod goal, which is a bad job by him.
Good, he always gets on the score sheet somehow, but yeah, United are all sorts, so, I mean, you have De Gea and Bournemouth looks okay. They still have good fixtures. Looks good, okay for cleans. But, I mean, we saw the centre-back carnage. We've been warning people about staying away there. Yep. But, you know, we have Jones and Bailly neither getting any time. So that sucks if you have them. But no clean was very surprising. I mean, yep. West Brom did have a couple chances, but it's West Brom. And, you know, they just got the lucky goal. But, yeah, I'm on fucking 31 points right now. I'm just getting 1-pointers for fun. I have 6 1-pointers in my team right now. Kevin in for Sterling.
6 1-pointers is staggering.
Yeah, the Kevin in for Sterling before last game week has been like a negative 15 points or some shit. I don't know, some huge amount of negative points there. And then Kiko getting subbed at 58 minutes, just right on my tits. It was so good. The feels of like Kiko.
It's so Walsh.
I mean, Christensen for that month when that was happening every game week, and then now Kiko. It's the kind of thing where he's so cheap and all the defenders are so bad in life. And I like the shout of him playing in an attacking role, not only for an attacking sense, but also that he would get subbed more likely than if he was in the back line.
Yeah.
But usually a fucking sub doesn't happen on 58 minutes.
Yeah, so. I know. Especially if he played 90, like a nil-nil game. Like, he couldn't have been... He wasn't fucking up that bad, you know? But, like, Aaron on Slack said, should we avoid defenders that Walsh gets if we want them to play more than 58 minutes? I mean...
Yes. Yeah, the answer is resoundingly yes. Answer.
But, there are only three cleans so far this week, and two of them are Huddersfield and West Brom. So, really, just... There's I feel one. Like people who are free hitting this week are probably flying because they're the only people most likely who have triple Liverpool because, you know, like we said on last pod, like Liverpool going forward are huge rotation risks, but having like double Liverpool defense and an attacker or double attacker and one defender, like that's huge points.
Yeah, I mean, we have City also that look like a really good bet for a clean game week 35 home Swansea. But other than that, I would be surprised if there's one in the division.
Yeah.
So it's the main problem is, though, it's like even though we have kind of been identifying the lack of cleans recently and poor investment for expensive defenders in general, it's not like we're getting points out of our cheap defenders. I mean, no one's getting points. So it's a little bit difficult and a tricky thing. But
Kevin Long owner's getting points.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Kevin Long. You're an idiot if you don't have Kevin Long. What were we thinking? It's so funny, though. It's like I feel so validated when Leicester let two in and then Burnley let one in. And everyone's been planning for weeks to have, like, Burnley defend, Leicester defend. It's just they're bad. So, you know, it's whatever. Yeah, but, again, it's not like
they're... The best advice I gave all week was probably to Ashir and Guest Jason, who are both free hitting this week. And I was like... They both had Chilwell, and I was like, he's horrible. Get rid of him immediately. Get Liverpool defenders. Like, they're going to keep it clean, and boom, right there. And Trent with, like, a 12-pointer, like, easy.
Yeah, Trent's so good. But it's not like, I mean, for how few points, like, the Burnley and Leicester defenders are, it's not like there are other 4.5 defenders on teams that are keeping clean. So, I mean, we're all just bad at, they're all just bad, so it's whatever.
Yeah. Kane, zero shots. I don't know what to make of it. It'll all come down to the next game, Brighton, which was always the case with Spurs. Like, hopefully they can just put like four or five pass and we all fly. So we'll see.
Yeah, except for the Ericsson owners who are laughing.
Yeah, they're laughing. Let's do some housekeeping. So shout out FMLFBL Prize League Mug League leader for April so far in the midweek is James M., friend of the Slack, a.k.a. McCrystal Palace. A lot of matches to go for April, so we'll see how that pans out. FMLFBL Cup finalists, Taren is up 1 point right now. So
wow,
it's so fucking tight. There's five matches left. It's going to come down to the wire. And
inaugural cup.
Yeah, exactly. And lastly, shout out top of the FMLFBL public league leader, still Clarky, the fucking lad.
Yeah, it's Clark. It's always Clark.
Always Clark. Let's go on.
Okay.
I think Liverpool City, I mean, I don't feel the need to talk any more about Liverpool than we did last week. I still feel the same in terms of, like, pretty much everyone on Liverpool being a bad pick from here on out in FPL, maybe until after Champions League. I just think rotation is going to be super heavy, especially in Gaming 35 against West Brom. Maybe a leaked lineup will lead some people to the glory land, but I don't know. But City, on the other hand, I mean, I feel like everyone should be gearing towards triple City, right?
I agree, yeah. I mean, they've got the really nice double, even though they do only have 2 days off there, so we'll have to see who plays both. That's just going to be a crapshoot. But in general, every single fixture for the rest of the season could be a 4-0 on paper. They play the absolute dross of the league, and getting three in as fast as possible feels like the way to go. A little bit annoyed about the Jesus Aguero thing because I really was hoping that one of the forwards would step forward. I just want like Aguero, huge step back, out for the year kind of a thing would be amazing. But this, with the strikers looking a no-go, I guess it's just got to look, you got to just look in midfield.
Yeah, I still think Sterling's the best guy. He's been the best guy all season. I still think he's the best guy.
Yeah, I think triple a mid is definitely defensible. Sterling, Kevin, Silva, Sané. I mean, you could go two or three of any of those four names and probably be comfortable. Seeing some Gundo shouts feels a little bit silly. I mean, I don't know. What is Dino missing, like one more game or something?
Yeah, one or two more suspended. But he's been so good, Gundo.
Yeah, I mean, he took the pen, right? So
yeah, that's nice.
He's cheap, but you don't want to get a heavy rotation risk because he's clearly not first choice. He's not in the first 11, so.
No.
Aside from that, though, I think it's really those four names, and then we're seeing him rotate center backs. I mean, Otamendi rightfully deserved to be dropped. He's been horrible for about a month, but Walker feels pretty nailed, but he's expensive, so I don't know. You know, it depends on your setup, and if you're stuck with, like, Alonso, it's easy to go over to Walker, but if you have cheap defenders and you can't get up there, then I would probably focus spending transfers on midfield.
Yeah, it's also scary. I mean, like, we both kind of agreed last week, and I still think it's true, that we'll see mostly first-teamers for the rest of the season. There's absolutely no reason why they would not play first-teamers. Like, they want to break records. They want to finish the season strong. These guys are all playing in the World Cup, blah, blah, blah. But there will be here and there little bits of rotation, I'm sure. And I feel like someone like you mentioned last spot, like there haven't been that many players on City who have just been like overworked, play 90 every single week. But Walker is one of those guys. So like I could see Walker getting like maybe dropped for a game for Danilo, and maybe Kev gets dropped for a game. He's been just absolute workhorse machine. But I still hold that it'll be mostly first team and they'll score a lot of goals.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not going to be a surprise, or it shouldn't be a surprise if there's a game we see Bilva in for Sané, or you know, we see Foden in for, like, Raz gets rested for a game. I don't think we'll probably have any of the players in the City attackers actually play all five of the remaining games, or feature for all five of the remaining games. But even if you're getting four games from any of the attackers, they are so good and so much more at the elite level compared to Spurs attack.
Any attack other than Liverpool. It's like
Yeah, and when Liverpool have one less game plus Champions League, it's just if you're spending like for like poundage there, you want to probably go City. So
yeah, you want City.
Yeah, so I mean, it's time to shift back to City, and you know, wild cards and free hits and transfers. They've got the game against Swansea this week. That should probably be every FPL player's focus.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Okay.
So there's the half of the world that's free hitting game week 35, and there's half of the world that isn't and is kind of planning for the rest of the season. Who would you target if you were free hitting for game week 35? Like Dave on Slack wants to know, free hit 35 must haves. From the City guys we just mentioned.
Yeah, so I mean, I would build around, see what happens with Aguero. If Aguero still is like knocked, I would definitely have Jesus, but I would probably build around the three City attackers. Liverpool, maybe we'll get the leak lineup. I mean, Karius feels okay. Zaha at Watford definitely should be in there, definitely. I think. I guess you would want Obs, even though they're going to be playing B-teamers behind him. I mean, against West Ham, they could still score a couple goals.
Yeah, and he's still just returning every week. It's just one of those things. There's not that many other forwards other than Jesus who are high priced, so it's easier to fit in Obs. And I think Arnie, too.
Yeah, Arnie, I definitely agree. I think Arnie 3-5-2 probably feels the best, like the best formation, because the strikers on the bad teams are just really are zero that you'll want. Looking at the teams that play in 35. As far as defense goes,
maybe like Chris Wood, I guess. He's been really good.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he'll be your first bench guy, but I don't know if you'd want to start him over, you know, a midfielder like Arnie.
Yeah,
because that's who you'll be looking at for that spot in your team.
Pocono Drew is shouting to me, like, maybe tripling Liverpool defense, which is nuts, but maybe actually genius if you go Karius, Van Dijk, and Klavan, because Lovren's knocked. So, assuming Lovren is still like kind of touch and go, and they don't want to risk him and save him for Champions League, then there's no other center backs on the fucking roster. And I think the fullbacks are very high percent chance of rotation, whereas Van Dijk, Klavan, Karius are probably all going to keep their spot. It could be like a huge, huge differential points haul. I kind of like it.
Yeah, it does feel like the lineup will leak, though. The lineup has been leaking every week for the past three or four league matches, I feel like. So
yeah, I don't know. What's that Twitter? It's like Anfield Index or some shit. Like
Express, I think.
Like Anfield Express. One of those. That's Klopp, and he just knows the lineup. Like, I don't know what the fuck is going on with that guy. Yeah,
that's funny. Yeah, I mean, the one concern I do have with putting all the eggs in that basket is, like, I mean, West Brom looked up for it. They're going to be back home after beating United. I think they'll probably play decently. And if Liverpool are playing a very B team, you know, it's a little bit – I would feel more comfortable going two there and just spreading it around a little bit.
Yeah, obviously not nailed and it is risky. Yeah. I just feel like it's kind of worth it because every other team other than maybe City defense is like bad. Like I don't see many clean sheets. None of these teams are really keeping cleans. Maybe Newcastle, but Everton are home. They usually score at home.
Yeah, I like PVA this week. I think that's a pretty good pick. Watford have been very bad.
Yeah, Watford have just.
I mean, they're on the beach. They're
standard Watford beach territory. Yeah.
The only problem, I mean, PVA is the attacking threat, but the only problem is we leak. I think we've kept like 3 clean sheets all season. I don't know how we've kept no. We don't do not keep clean sheets.
Meanwhile, me and you get Sako in on our Watford. Of course. Good job,
us. We have to. Good job, us. Yeah, I would probably. I mean, if you don't go triple Liverpool, I would probably be focusing on like PVA, Liverpool, dude. I think like Newcastle, someone like Lascelles or something. But
Lascelles,
Lascelles, whatever you say his name. But I mean, you could go with an Everton defender like a Baines or a Coleman.
I mean, Seamus missed a fucking sitter. He should have scored. You know, he's still.
I mean, Newcastle do look good. I really think they'll score, but you know, Coleman with the attacking threat, you could do worse this week. So. I think that's probably about it. And I mean, you could decide to put a City defender in there and go for 2 attackers. That could work as well if you think that your team's looking better that way. But I think that's about it. I mean, there's not much. I would definitely stay away from Arsenal defense. Like Mustafi looks like he's been playing a lot, but they are so bad.
But
He's so bad. He's been playing like Pogba levels of bad.
Yeah.
I would avoid Arsenal defense 1,000,000%.
Well, also with Arsenal, I mean, like, their semi-final against Atletico is, you know, one's between 35 and 36 and the other's between 36 and 37. So no one, like we've been saying for weeks now that Aubameyang is the only good guy and the only nailed guy. And that's just going to continue through maybe the end of the season. Maybe game week 38 they play a strong lineup, but there's no reason, especially with as good a team as Atletico is, like there's no reason to see any real first teamers other than Aubameyang. Obviously.
Yeah, one cheeky thing though, I think Iwobi is a left field punt that you could maybe roll the dice on because he's definitely not in the first team, but he's definitely starting and he could start every game the rest of the season and maybe except for 38.
And he's,
if he actually plays a full team.
Good.
Yeah, I don't know if he's fucking good.
I like him a lot.
I like him, but I don't think he's fucking good. I think he's very hit or miss. Like, he has Welbeck type games where he just can't do anything right.
Right.
But they have good fixtures, and he's really cheap. So, and he's a good enabler. Like, I'd rather have Iwobi probably than like Gundo. So that's maybe a little crazy and not like intuitive, but I don't know. I like it. I like Iwobi a little bit. So
I feel like on a free hit, I'd rather have Gundo, but for the rest of the season, I'd much rather have Iwobi.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, because Gundo with Dino should.
Yeah, he's nailed this week at least. Gundo.
Yeah, probably. Although, probably.
Probably now, yeah. And then the other side of the coin is not non-free hitters like me and you. So we're more targeting guys for the rest of the season. I mean, we mentioned Aubameyang, yes. We mentioned City, yes. I think Spurs are good after game week 35. They should be pretty good for the rest of the season. They have a nice double. Who else are you looking at? I mean, Wilf too. Like, they have no double, but Wilf is a perfect example of like a single game weeker that you want, even in game week 37 when everyone's doubling. The rest of their fixtures are just incredible, and he's playing up top.
Yeah, I mean, like Newcastle, I guess, also.
Yeah, Newcastle's good too. I think I mentioned Jordan Ayew in the beginning. I mean, if you're on like a cheap third forward kind of situation, he's been great for a while. Like, the whole second half of the season, he's been really good. They have really bad next 2 fixtures, but then an incredible double in game week 37 and then home Stoke in game week 38. And they're still fighting for relegation. So, you know, he could be good.
Yeah, I like the Jordan Ayew shot. I definitely, if I had to go for the sub 6 third forward, like if you're kind of backed into a corner and you can't double swap that guy out and you need that guy to start, I definitely think Ayew is a good shout. I mean, I don't think I have any extra insight there. I think you hit the teams.
Yeah, I mean, Spurs, it just should be said, Spurs, and I guess United, like if you have like De Gea, obviously keep. Because after Game Week 35, the FA Cup semifinal, the final is until after the season. So we should just see like first team for United, Spurs, and the other shitty teams who are in the FA Cup for the rest of the season. So, you know, that's good for them.
Yep, and Spurs have an extra day off. They have 3 days off between the double games, which is good for them. So
yeah.
I'm definitely twitchy with Son, though. I think he's on a very short leash. She's going to be getting out of my team very soon.
It's been bad.
Yeah, it's just like Lamella. He's feeling better about starting Lamella. I mean, I might spend my transfer on Son this week. I'm not sure. I have to look at it a little bit more as the week progresses. But Son with the rotation risk, even if they do have 3 days off, they don't really lose much if they have Lamella and instead of Son. I guess a little bit of attacking there, but like, you know, they should be able to score three against these bad teams anyway. So
yeah,
Son I think is a very sketchy shout. But
and I gotta just keep shouting Arnie. I mean, like. He's just so fucking good, and his numbers are so good, and he looks so good, and the fixtures are bad on paper, but Homestoke, I mean, in an hour from now is obviously amazing. At Arsenal is fucking amazing. That's a fantastic fixture. Home City is obviously really bad in 36, but the double in 37 at Leicester is a terrific fixture. Home United is not great, but it's like, yeah, United haven't been that good defensively lately. And then Game Week 38, home Everton, is another fantastic fixture. And with his form, I just think he's just so fucking good. Like, he's so automatic in my team. There's no chance of him going anywhere.
Yeah, I agree. I think Arnie's flown a little under the radar in the last like week or two just because the fixtures look bad. But as you mentioned, at Arsenal is a very good fixture right now for an attacker. And, I mean, City at home, you still feel like City have little lapses in them, and with Arnie playing up top and City completely on the beach just kicking it around for fun, it's not good, but it's not like, fuck, he's definitely going to blank in that game. So
yeah, it's weird. Like, City almost feel like Liverpool of like last season or something, where it's like they dominate, then they have a 10-minute stretch where they're just a complete fucking mess and nightmare, and they could concede anywhere from like 1 to 3 goals in that 10-minute stretch.
Yeah. I think another thing just to touch on is, I mean, we have a blank game week coming up, and for the non-free hitters, it's kind of like, how aggressive are you taking hits this week? Do you think, like, how many guys do you really feel like you want to try and get out? Mentioning Son, like, I have Austin also, who's somehow not starting for Shane Long starting over him, and they need goals, I don't know. You know, like, what kind of players do you feel okay taking a hit for? Like, even Alexis, I mean, he's so expensive. They have really good fixtures, but they look so bad. So what are you looking at there in terms of
keeping other players? Yeah, it's interesting. I haven't thought much about it because I'm going to use my free transfer on Mahrez or Son this week, and I'll have 10 guys. So I feel really good about my Game Week 35 team. But, I mean, only 27% of the top 10K have their free hit left before this week. So there's going to be, like, majority of active competitive players are not going to be free hitting in 35. I don't know how many hits I'd want to take. I feel like I'd feel really bad without, like, at least, like, 7 guys. And that's kind of, I say 7 guys, but not 7 pieces of fucking shit. Like, I'd feel bad if I don't have a City attacker. I'd feel pretty bad if I don't have Aubameyang. Like, even like Wilf, I feel pretty bad if I don't have him because there's just not that many good guys to have. Like, you could have 7 guys and 3 of them are triple Burnley, and like, that's not good. Like, those are just blanks. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'd shoot for like 7 or 8. And if I was going to take hits for guys who are blanking, I would just make sure that they're guys that you plan on keeping for the rest of the season, like all of the guys we just mentioned who have good outlook for the rest of the season or really good doubles in 37, stuff like that, where you're planning ahead and you're not just trying to, you know, like, paper over cracks for Game Week 35 specifically.
Yeah, I think I've seen a lot of teams with Hazard, a lot of people who really loaded up for this double and these premium assets who blank right now in Game Week 35. I think it's a pretty good opportunity to do something like take Hazard and Son out for De Bruyne and Sterling or something like that, or take Alexis and Son out for Sterling and Silva. Like, you know, I feel like that's a good -4 to take to get
2-point hits are good in weeks like this traditionally.
Yeah, especially with City. I mean, if you're taking the 2-point hit for this week, but then they also do have the double. So if you get lucky and you get the extra game there, like it's almost like a 0-point hit because you're making the those 4 points up just on minutes played.
And so they're the best midfielders in the game, bar Liverpool. So it's like, you know, you can never no return is ever nailed in a 1 week stretch or even a 4 week stretch. But City are. Fucking, I mean, we don't have to say City are good. Like, City are insane. So, feels pretty okay to if you're going to take a hit for anyone, to take a hit for City guy.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, how many guys are you on for next week before transfers?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 with no goalkeeper. And one of those is Vanderhorn, who actually should start. They should go back to three at the back against City.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a point.
Yeah, maybe a point. Hopefully a point.
I am a little worried about Kiko. I don't know. He subbed him early. Who knows? He might not start. But maybe he'll just start him back at fullback. I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't have like a good 11. I've got Andy King coming in. I have double Newcastle defense in. Sacco probably won't keep it clean. But, I mean, you know, that's whatever. I just have like De Bruyne, Zaha, and Aubs really as attackers.
That's a very nice core, though. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that again, I mean, I'm looking at maybe doing – taking a hit and doing something like maybe getting Jesus in or Sterling in and getting rid of like Son, Alexa, I don't know, Austin, Alexis, Son, those three spots I'm going to play around with and see what I can get. But
yeah, I'm looking at a hit too. Yeah.
Yeah. I should get 10 out. I'm definitely not going to fuck around on goalkeeper. I don't give a shit about goalkeeper. So I'll probably have 10 out.
Yeah. So
I mean, 10 with a hit or 10 on, I could have 10 with like one really bad guy and no hit, you know, that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah. And I think I said before Game Week 34 on last pod, like I expect us to both kind of go down Game Week 34 because we didn't stockpile the doubles or I'm bench boosting, but still it's not like a good bench boost for me. But I feel like Game Week 35, we're super primed for like a really good week. Like I mentioned the percentage, like most people in the top 10K, which that's where you're around, all those competitive guys don't have their free hit for Game Week 35. So getting 10 or 11 out just feels like fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, my hope is that there's more than like a 10 or 15% of those owners that didn't recently wildcard and plan for this, and they're just kind of like really fucked for 35, which is definitely a possibility if they wildcarded earlier.
Yeah, there's some percentage of those guys, yeah for sure.
So I mean, if there are going to be like, say, 20% of teams that are on like minus eights or something like that, then I'll feel really just to, and that's just to approach the team I have now, basically. And if I'm on a minus four or no hit, with a better team, like that'll feel good next week. But yeah. I'm really nervous right now just because I only have 5 guys left this game week. Like you have 8 and you have 13 more points than me. So
yeah.
I'm in a really bad position. Like unless Alexis really does something special, I only expect to go down from here. And I already have gotten like a 7K red arrow from 15K to 22K right now. So I'm in a precarious position.
You need an Alexis return. That's your way out of it.
Yeah, I don't even think one would give me a gray arrow. I think I need like a brace with Max Bones to give me just a gray arrow at this point.
It depends. So if Kane and Rom blank and Alexis gets one, I think that's fine. I think that will give you about a gray arrow, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That would probably be fine. But regardless of what Kane does, because I do own him, it really just comes down to Alexis because he's such a differential. I think they're only like 4 or 5% absentee on him. So. Yeah. But it's just a huge risk because, I mean, United wouldn't have scored if the game was 200 minutes against West Brom, so we'll see.
West Brom aren't good last time I checked.
Last time I checked, they were not good, but they looked like world beaters against West Brom. Just like, they looked really good.
They looked great. I was saying in Slack as the game was going on, I was like, damn, West Brom playing some football, looking good. Nothing like fucking Mourinho team to make West Brom look good.
No, yep, agree.
So, yeah, I mean, one guy that we kind of both left out of muscle memory, I feel like. But at this point, it's just ridiculous. It's Milivojevic. I mean, we're both mentioning Wilf, blah, 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 Palace is good fixtures, et cetera. But, and Millie is just a player transformed. Like, early in the season, I was just like, this is bullshit. He's just getting lucky. He's getting a pan every week or, like, some worldy volley that he has no right scoring. But he's turned into just like a star player for you guys. Like that assist to Wilf this week was so sick. That pass over the top and his free kicks are Alonso level free kicks. And it's just like for how cheap he is, like he's just fucking really good.
Yeah, I mean, I've been having blinders on just because he keeps getting these pens, and I'm like, this is so unsustainable. Yeah. This is so unsustainable. But he has been given a little bit more like license to move forward and roam forward when we have possession in the final third. Whereas in the past, he's been really shackled as a CDM, like really not going much past the halfway line. So yeah, he's good. He's a good pick. It'll be interesting to see what he's priced at next season.
It's going to be super high.
If he's 5'5", like in that region,
no way.
He'll probably, yeah, you're right. He'll probably be more in the 6'5 area.
Yeah, he'll be like 6'5". He has so many points.
Yeah, if they price him at 6, which I think is defensible, and that could happen, that'll be an interesting one because then you're going to be looking at him like in the same category as the best midfielder on promoted teams and stuff. So he might be a cheeky pick for game week one next season. We'll have to see. But
and he's 14th in points for midfielders.
It's yeah.
He's points behind Mane.
Yeah.
He's 7 points behind Alexis. He's 18 points behind Sané. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, it is a little bit silly. And as long as we have Wilf and we're going to still be around the top 5 teams drawing pens because he's so hard to deal with in the box. I mean, even though it's half dives and half pens, like, Millie is good. I mean, I'm not transferring him in, but if you have him, like, you feel great about starting him 35. God.
And I feel terrible not having him because he's murdering
us. He's been sticking it in for a while.
Him and Vardy over the last 2 months have just destroyed us.
Vardy's pissed me off more. I mean, at least Millie's on Palace, so when he does good things, I'm like, yes, Palace, like, you're great. Vardy a goal every game and looking bad and the team looking bad every game for pretty much 90 minutes is very, very frustrating.
But they were actually good this week, and Mahrez absolutely should have returned and looked really good, and they just didn't. It was sad.
Yeah, I don't know, fucking whatever. Vardy, Leicester fucking suck.
Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about? Furman on Slack asked this question. How much would you change your strategy based on your league performance? He means like your mini league performance, i.e. how much would you play differently if you're leading versus chasing, be defensive, or just a full-on purist and try and pick the highest scoring team every week?
Yeah, I'm not looking at that until game week 37 probably. Especially if you're chasers or who you're chasing as a wild card left, then there's really no point because their team's going to change completely from what you're trying to cover them with. But I think it's their predictive nature of what you expect your opponent to do is so variable at this point with so many game weeks left that it's just not worth doing. And I think 37 is more reasonable when chips are down and they aren't going to be doing anything drastic where you could really look at it. And then in terms of like a differential cap, 37, there's going to probably be a fair few options. But I still think from 35, 36 standpoint, just pick the good guys, go for your best 11, and then maybe a 37 for the double, then take a look and see like, okay, I'm 20 points down. Like, I'm really going to need to do like X, Y, and Z if I have a realistic shot at overcoming this person since we have 7 shared players, like that kind of thing. But I don't think before 37, that would be my advice anyway. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I mean, to be honest, I've never really given a fuck or paid attention to any mini league. It's just not how I play the game. I'm always just competing against myself for overall rank. But that seems to make the most sense, especially just with like so many good doubles in 37 that you could really pick a bunch of guys that are sort of differentials but with really high point ceiling, and that'll be your biggest chance to rise, I think.
Yeah.
All right, should we go to Game Week 35 caps and stuff?
Sure.
All right, cool. Man, it's so weird. I mean, there's still a bunch of matches to go, so we might get some other info right now, but who are you on as of now?
Now, I have it on De Bruyne, but he hasn't scored a goal in like 13 games, so I feel like whatever I do with my transfers will probably be my cap.
Yeah, I think that's same for me. I mean, I'm on Auba, but I have no City guys, and I'm going to bring in one or two, and that'll probably be my cap.
Yeah, unless if the Liverpool lineup leaks and Salah's in there, and I think that it's got to be a City player this week, just looking at the fixtures. Home Swansea's too good to pass up. They could put 5-6 past. Arsenal, again, Aub's good on paper fixture, but with the B team behind him, I just don't feel like they are good. So he's
– it's defensible, I feel like, starting Aub with just how good he is and how automatic he's been, but They had just such a lower ceiling than like the City guys. Without a pen or something like that, the ceiling is just so low.
If you have no City players, then Aub would probably be your pick, but I don't think anyone will have no City players. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's
the lineup week will be interesting for Liverpool, because like you said, if like Salah's starting, I'd absolutely go Salah. But I don't know who the fuck knows as of right now.
Yeah. But in terms of City, like I am toying around with getting Jesus in. I'm hopeful that we'll get some better news about Aguero in the presser and see where he's at. But
oh yeah, pressers are always so fucking helpful. That's gonna be good for us.
I know, whatever. But you know what I mean. Like, I mean, he played like 10 minutes in the fucking Champions League game, and then he didn't play like last game. So.
Well, Ashley Young fucking destroyed him. That's what happened there.
Yeah, but I mean, he wasn't on the bench this week, right?
Yeah, no, because of the Ashley Young tackle, right. Like into his ankle, so, he's destroyed. Yeah, or whatever.
He'll probably want to get in there a little bit ahead of the World Cup, but I don't know. Jesus feels like a very high ceiling pick, even though he only knows how to score tap-ins. Like, he could brace. And midfield feels tough. I mean, I do like Sterling too. I feel like Sterling's probably better.
Sterling, to be honest.
Yeah, Sterling's probably better captain De Bruyne just because he's got brace potential. But the thing with Sterling that's really frustrating, especially from captaincy standpoint, is he double returned into 3-1 and didn't get one bonus point. So, I mean, you know, bonus points are significant when you're doubling them for captaincy. So if De Bruyne gets, Salah doesn't get bones either.
You know, I know.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
it's frustrating. Like, if De Bruyne gets an assist, then he's going to have more points than Sterling if Sterling gets a goal.
Right. Yeah, that's fair.
I do like De Bruyne for a captain, though. I think he'll be a pretty big differential captain. I no matter what I do, I might stick with him. I'm not sure if I'm going to reach to Jesus. I might play it safer and just do midfield. I'm not sure yet, but I think that's where I'm looking.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'll be on Raz, but we'll see.
Yeah.
So, we kind of already covered our teams and our transfers. I mean, I have Mahrez and Son. Those are the two highest price / worst guys that I have who are blanking. So those would be my two targets for transfers out. I'm definitely looking at Sterling in for one of them. I might take a hit and bring in someone else for the other, but that's all I'm looking at for now.
Yeah, I mean, that does itself.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, quick pod. Middle of game week pod. Weird time to pod, but we got a pod.
No, I mean, I think we touched on some prescient topics, and I think we hit it. We hit all the talking points for the game week. I mean, it's the business end of the season, so.
Yeah. If you don't know who's good by now, then you don't fucking know what's happening.
Yeah, basically. I mean, these are all very narrow decisions that we have to make from now till the end of the season with so few game weeks left. I mean, there aren't like gems who have good fixtures over the next 8 to 10 game weeks that we could talk about in game week 6 or something, you know, just because there's not that much time.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just like I think it's such a smaller pool of players that are in the good team. So,
yeah, and everything is so team dependent, like we always say, like, some people were asking in Slack, like, oh, when would you wildcard? Like, blah, blah, blah. And I literally wrote to all of them, like, just message me or Walsh on Slack or post it in the Rate My Team channel, because we can't answer that on pod because it's just different for every single team. And it just does nothing to talk about on pod.
Yeah.
All right. So no new patrons or anus slaps this week. So, yeah, I mean, that's it, I think. So any last words?
I really need Newcastle to keep a clean sheet this week.
That would be really nice.
That will be my green arrow or red arrow, I feel like, is going to be Newcastle clean sheet dependent, which doesn't feel great. But.
Well, luckily you have Wilf, so just hauls are just coming in the drove. So, you know.
Is Wilf captain shout an insane thing?
It's a little worrisome because Benteke subbed on this week. Benteke starts, yeah, and then Wilf is a really bad captain, but... Yeah. I don't know. I feel like this was your first win in a fucking long time. I mean, other than the Huddersfield game, I guess. But I don't know. Wilf has just been so good. Like, why would Roy want to change it? I don't know. But it's sketchy. It's definitely sketchy.
I mean, it was like, what, his first brace of his fucking career this week?
Yeah, but like...
That was the best single free transfer I've made all season, by the way.
I mean, you can't get better than transferring out a fucking zero and bringing in a brace.
No. I mean, if I didn't have Wolf right now, I'd be on 17 points. That's pretty bad.
This would be a much different tone of pod if that were the case.
I mean, I'm like scraping. I mean, this is a scraping by tone, not like a darkness overcoming me, Tom. So
it's like
we're okay.
Too early in the day for drinking pure darkness nightmare pod anyway.
No, yeah, for sure.
All right, check us out at fmlfield.com. Follow us on Twitter at fmlfieldsports, patreon.com/fmlfield. Cheers.